You heard. You coming.
Sanders from the pocket delivers to the end zone, and it's a leaping touchdown caught by Travis Hunter.
To the line here, fakes it, throws into the end zone. Weaver, touchdown!
Some extra power from McCaskill pushes him across the plane to the goal line. Touchdown.
Colorado blocks the punt. It's a scoop and a score for CU. Trevor Woods.
Welcome to the Shoulder to Shoulder podcast, episode 2 of the Revive podcast. And what a hell of a start for the Deion Sanders Colorado Buffaloes team.
Yeah, man. It was about as good as you could have anticipated. I was in shock the whole time. I think everyone has different reactions to this stuff. But I just couldn't believe it. Like, every time we went down and scored, and it didn't even look hard. I mean, we're going to dive into all the numbers and everything with the game, I'm sure. But, like, the numbers from Shador and Dylan and all the other receivers and everything are, like, if you compared them to last year, it's laughable, truly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think we had a player have even a performance that was even half as good last year.
Yeah, I think it was Adam Munster Tiger, I think, was tweeted something about how the the information department or whatever was trying to look up when the last time CU had three receivers go for over 100 yards in the same game was. And while they were doing that, we had the fourth one. I know.
Oh, yeah.
So he tweeted it out during the game.
Just kidding.
Yeah. So it was crazy, man. Truly insane.
Yeah.
Also, never been happier to be wrong about a prediction for a game than that one, for sure. I just thought I was thinking that the offense was going to take a little longer to click like that, just for, you know, obvious reasons. But you just see the difference immediately in like the level of athlete that we have now, because like even Dylan's first touchdown, Shador threw to him and there was a linebacker trailing him, or even the last touchdown, same thing. Like, he gets picked up by a linebacker, but he's so much faster, it doesn't matter. Like, they just couldn't get to the sideline fast enough because he was by him already, which is just crazy. It just goes to show you there's just that difference between having a running back that's like 4.5 speed and having him in the 4.3s or whatever. So
I bet his game speed, he probably hits those 4.2s.
Yeah, I don't even know. He's just faster than everybody, it seemed like. So
he really is. He is. And yeah, we'll get into that in just a second. Real quick before we get going, I wanted to give a quick shout out. You guys will probably see it. Hopefully it refreshes on all the feeds, but we have a new logo for the podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to his name's Levi Podorf, and he is he has his own like independent thing called Design Society. I'll link the description in the show notes for anybody that needs graphic design work or anything like that. I mean, he whipped up like 3 different samples of logos in about an hour. They're all super clean. So just give, if you have any graphic design needs, just hit him up. He's awesome. So again, that'll be in the show notes, but yeah, let's jump into it, man. I don't even know where to start, honestly. I mean, the first drive, we stuffed TCU 3 and out, and I was like, whoa, that was unexpected. Because I don't think anybody thought that our defense was going to be good enough to, like, stuff somebody right off the bat. We did, and then we just drove down the field and scored and made it look so easy.
I mean, I don't know how you want to break this game down, because I feel like we could relive the whole thing. But the first drive was like, the instant we had that, I was like, oh, okay, this is for real. Like, we actually are going to compete in this thing. And obviously, yeah, they had a good first defensive stand, which was great, but it was just so refreshing to see someone like a quarterback be able to just methodically pick apart a defense and see just the athletes on our side be better than the other side. That just blew me away.
Yeah. There were so many times watching him where you could visually just see him going through his progressions like left to right, right to left, whichever way he was going. And he was just clean. And when he knew that there was somebody that he could make a throw to, he made the decision. It was, there was no hesitation or anything. And that's something like with CU quarterbacks we have not seen since like Klatt, Coy Detmer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were talking about even Klatt on the broadcast was like, I was not as good as this when I was wearing the jersey. And you know, cause his like first game was one of the ones that got thrown up there cause he threw for over like 400 yards or whatever it was in his first game. So yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I don't even have the words. I feel like everything has been said the last day. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday. So, everyone I'm sure has just been absorbing every bit of content that they possibly can on all, you know, all the receipts being posted and all of the crazy numbers that came from the game and all the incredible plays and just athletes on this team. Shadur in particular, I think I just was so happy when I saw that he was as advertised as far as from the coaching staff. They all said that was his thing, right? He's incredibly accurate and he knows the offense better than everyone. And he just knows exactly what he's looking at. You could see there were a few times he walked down to the line of scrimmage, checked to a different play, you know, and I don't think there was ever a time when he did that and it wasn't a positive gain or at least a first down, you know? So that's super, super encouraging to see, especially for just the rest of the season going ahead. Like you can tell he's in control for sure. He is all over that offense and completely understands what Sean Lewis is trying to do and seems to completely understand like what each part of it does to the defense that he's facing. So yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and again, I think I'm going to keep touching on this. I'll probably overstate it, but I'm so used to watching whoever was behind center get up to the line. And then the minute the ball was snapped, you knew where they were going. I mean, they were locked in on whatever receiver they had decided pre-snap who they were going to throw it to. And you did not know who was going to go to at any point during the entire game. But there was, I've watched the highlights probably 30 times now. I watched the second half of the game like in full already. There was one, the deep ball I hit to Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Ball snapped and he looks the safety off. He's looking to the left the entire time. And then at the last second, he looks back to Weaver and makes it just like a dime right into Weaver's hands.
It was a perfect, throw. Like it couldn't have been more perfect.
He threw him open because that safety, he let him off the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, and that was the craziest thing too. And I know we already touched on this. Like we had four receivers go over for over 100 yards. I mean, that was the craziest thing about it is he would drop back and he would throw a deep ball and you genuinely didn't know who it was going to because sometimes it was Travis, sometimes it was Jimmy, sometimes it was Weaver. I mean, most of Dylan's stuff came obviously out of the backfield and underneath and screens and stuff like that. But you just didn't know who he was going to because he had so many options. Or even the touchdown that he threw to Jimmy was like a perfect example of two guys who have clearly spent time together learning how to play together because you could see Shadur rolls out of the pocket and Jimmy immediately is like, oh, he's going this way. So I'm going to fade that way. And he was just wide open in the end zone. Like
that's done.
Yeah. So, that was awesome. That was so awesome. I feel like we could go like this for half an hour. Do you have anyone in particular? I know that there's a lot of options that you want to shout out for, their performance. And I know we already touched on a few guys, but
no. Okay. This might sound crazy, but I can't be alone in thinking of this. The guy that I think is getting the least amount of respect. I mean, his name's getting mentioned, but not in the capacity I think it should be. Dylan Edwards. He scores four touchdowns, but every article I've read starts off with Shadur or Travis, which is fine because both of them played.
They deserve it too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Dylan accounted for 28 of the points. Well, I mean, if you're taking out the extra points, he accounted for 24 of the 45 points we scored yesterday. And it seems like he's kind of like, and I don't want to use the term afterthought because he's still getting recognized for it, but just like he's in what world can you look at a box score and see a guy that has four touchdowns and think, yeah, he didn't like he wasn't the best player on the field that day?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a debatable point because I think obviously if those two other guys didn't have huge days, then yeah, then you couldn't really even debate that it was Dylan who was the best. But he did. I mean, he had four touchdowns. He's a true freshman running back. He had four touchdowns. Granted, most of it came as a receiver, but that's kind of how we knew he was going to be used anyway. So yeah. He's definitely one of those guys who's just like, we're just going to get find ways to get him the ball in space and see what he can do. And thankfully, he was able to make it happen. I mean, he really yeah. was like with all of his opportunities, he just delivered tenfold. So, yeah, that was awesome to see. And
we both said it last week. You're like, it's not going to be if he will make a big play. It just depends on when in the game he's going to make that big play.
Yeah.
And he decided to have four.
Exactly. They said that on the broadcast too, that Coach Prime said, like, it's not if, it's when he's going to make a big play. Yeah. So it's the same thing. I mean, it's like we were talking about in the well-off videos, Bucky is always behind the camera, just being like every day as Dylan like scampers by. And I don't know if you watched any of the content already from the game from those guys from Well Off and Reach the People.
I haven't watched the pregame show, but I have like I've got like 42 tabs of videos open that I'm still yet to watch from yesterday.
You're gonna have to get to that, but he breaks that screen and Bucky is in the background going every day. So yeah, I mean, you can't say enough about him. We haven't had a playmaker like him in, I don't know, as long as I've been like a real true fan of Colorado. I don't think there's been anyone like that before that's just come onto the scene and just been dominant.
No, I mean,
obviously, yeah, I don't know if you want to get into, I mean, if you got anything else to say on Dylan, go ahead and say it, but
no, I mean, I think we covered it. I was curious to see who you thought made some impact that hasn't been getting like a ton of attention.
I mean, I think obviously, you know, we've touched on Shadur already. Travis, we'll talk about more with both the offense and the defensive stuff. And yeah, I mean, Travis, like, you can't say enough about Travis either. The guy had, I believe, the last number that I saw from Fox Sports was 134 snaps he played. So
I've seen that. I've seen 129. I don't think anybody knows because he was playing whatever. So much.
Somewhere in there where he played. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw Sonny Dykes in his postgame presser. Did you see his comment on that? He said somehow Travis Hunter was able to go out there and play darn near every single snap in the game. And yet we had guys who were cramping up in the fourth quarter, which was true, which was funny. At home in the heat, you know, and there was all this talk about like, oh, Colorado doesn't have the depth to handle it. And they were doing well. I mean, when we talk about the defense, I think we'll get into, I think they did get worn out a bit there, especially in the second half. But yeah, it was crazy to see that. So I do think you kind of have to talk about it's Shadur, it's Dylan, it's Travis. Jimmy and Zay Weaver were both very good also. Jimmy has like a really good possession receiver kind of in that slots area where they just quickly get him the ball. He had more, you know, he had 11 receptions and Zay Weaver only had six, but he still went over 100 because he had some big ones, you know. I think just to transition to the defense, what I do want to talk about is Travis got a ton of shine, as deservedly so. He was awesome. I think on defense they said he only gave up one reception and they were targeting him pretty frequently, actually, at least in the beginning. And I know on the broadcast, Platt was like, I think they're going to have to tell Chandler Morris to stop throwing the ball in his direction.
Yeah, because it never worked.
No, it never worked. But on the other side, Omarion Cooper also didn't give up a reception the whole game. Yeah. So the corners were great. And I just wanted to say that about Omarion Cooper is he's going to get passed over a bit because the guy playing on the other side of him is just an alien. But
he also played very, very well against those TCU receivers. Didn't give up a reception, I believe is what I saw a little bit before we went on here. So he's a guy that I want to point out for sure, because I know the defense is going to be on the more negative side of the recap, but yeah. He was very good. He was very good. Travis was very good. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you say that thing about Travis being alien. I'll put a link to a tweet in the show notes. There was this meme going around, or not a meme, but like a video going around of some girl that was on a plane and because she thought she was like freaking out saying that the person she was sitting next to was not real. And so
he
see a clip actually where it was like, it was Sonny Dykes and it was that quote. I didn't realize that was the quote you're talking about. And then it cuts that clip and it says, "That motherfucker is not real." And that's like, that is so true, because
like him dancing in the locker room after the game. Yeah.
What other person could play 134 snaps, have all the energy, even in the post game that she was like, "Are you tired? You ready to go lay down?" He's like, "Nah, I'm ready to go back out there." Like, what?
They told us over and over again. They told us he does not get tired. He does not get tired. He does not get tired. I think the only time he came out was when he like got landed on when he made a catch.
Yeah.
And he came out for a couple of plays. I mean, he obviously was out after some defensive possessions and stuff for a little bit to give him a little break, but he was in all of the major plays he was in. And I don't think I only say the one time he was out, because I think that's the only time I saw him take himself out, basically, where he asked for a sub. And I think it was because the guy who tackled him kind of fell on top of him. So he just needed a second to catch his breath, probably. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to, just dive into the defensive side or how you want to navigate the rest of this, but go for it.
Yeah, no, I do. I want to make one more thing on Shadur. I'll probably keep you saying I have one more thing.
Sure.
On Shadur, you and I talked about this a little bit during the game and after. He was 38-47, so he had 9 incompletions.
Mm-hmm.
I can, in my head, and again, I've watched all the highlights. I've watched this full second half. I need to probably watch the first. I can think of two passes that were missed like by him.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were drops.
What? So the two is like the first underthrown ball to Travis, and then the one,
Jimmy,
an intermediate pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it was just kind of out of his reach a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. The one to Travis that Travis had and then popped out was like he had to make a diving effort at it, but still a good throw. Obviously, he had a great chance to catch that ball. And there was the one, the deep one to Jimmy that he had to stretch a little bit for, but at that point you're being so ticky-tacky with it. Like, I mean, he was incredibly accurate all game long.
He just doesn't make bad throws. And I mean, if he misses a throw, it's not by much. And he was safe with the ball. Like I was in awe of his performance yesterday. Let's jump to the defense. And actually, speaking of the defense, quick shout out to Bishop Thomas.
Yes, right.
They bring him in at fullback, and he just absolutely blows somebody up for I think it was Sivion that had the ball. It paves the way for a touchdown.
I was so fired up when that happened because I saw him in there, and I was like, "Wait a second, who is that big ass dude that they have in like a fullback spot right now?" And then they, you know, panned over, and it was Bishop Thomas, and he just absolutely obliterated someone on the end of it. I was super happy that he got that opportunity. He was in too at points. Like, they definitely rotated the D lineman quite a bit. So, because I was trying to look into before this, I was trying to look into like who was on the line during some of those big running plays that we gave up, and you know, see if there was a difference between the end of the game, that last drive, because they held up a little bit better against it, but they were just rotating so many guys the whole time. And obviously, you know, we don't have access to all 22. So I couldn't pick out everyone, but they had a lot of guys rotating in and out of there. So,
That defense, I mean, I do have to give props to Chandler Morris. He was better than I expected him to be. I mean, he was relatively accurate with the ball. He's faster than I thought he was. Like when he had that read option and he just took it to the house, I was surprised by how quick he was to get there. But he he was solid. That being said, yeah, I mean, when he was only completing passes when he wasn't throwing it to somebody that Amari Cooper was guarding or somebody that Travis was on, that he had to go elsewhere with it. And a lot of it, was, I think, missed assignments by linebackers covering backs out of the field.
Yeah, I think there was some of that. When I was looking back at it, it looked like we got burned a couple of times when one of our safeties was one-on-one. Like, I think Shiloh got beat a couple of times on some just like quick slants, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I know Trevor Woods got beat on the one touchdown to their tight end, who's like, you know, that big ass dude.
It was a hell of a catch. Honest,
yeah, it was a really great catch and a great throw just over the top of Trevor's hand, you know. So you can't really blame him for that exactly. It was just a well drawn up play. But yeah, they seem like they had some, and I know I think Coach Prime talked about this in his press conference too. He said they had some trouble communicating between the linebackers and the safeties and covering crossing routes.
Pick plays were
assignment was what. Apart. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, clearly I would imagine they're going to hammer that home and try to correct that. But really, for me, honestly, I mean, they held them. I mean, they gave up 14 points in the first half, and one of those touchdowns came after a fumble. So that put them in deep in their territory. Three of the TCU touchdowns were short fields. One of them was the fumble. One of them was the long kick return, which special teams is a whole other animal that will be addressed to. And then one of them was on the blocked field goal. So three of those touchdowns were short fields. Not an excuse necessarily, but like, it's not like every single one of their scores was going all the way down the field on them. And I did feel like they were missing more tackles in the second half. I mean, that one run by Bailey that actually ended up being Travis's insane interception just outside of the end zone. Yeah. But that run that he had happened because he broke a tackle from Bentley, I think it was, who hit him in the gap. So they definitely had their issues with that. I think they were getting worn out. Like, I'm sure if you asked the team, they would be like, no, that wasn't the issue. But there were definitely more missed tackles, and there was definitely just some more errors like that weren't really happening in the first half, I feel like. So, so those are some of the issues. I mean, we talked about it on our last podcast. I said I'm a little worried that they're going to get run on pretty hard because of the size difference, and TCU does have like one of the biggest lines in college football, I think.
Yeah.
But
I think they might be the heaviest, just in terms of just weight, average weight. I think they might be the heaviest.
Right. Yes. They're definitely up there. I can't remember. I mean, you know, I'm sure I saw that online, but I don't know. I didn't verify it for myself with every single team, so I'm not going to totally for sure say that, but they're definitely one of the biggest. So yeah, that's the biggest issue I think for them to correct right now is just making those tackles and finding the right mix of guys, at least on early downs, who can stop those. Because once we got them off schedule, it was typically pretty good. Because relying on Morris to make a throw down the field wasn't always their best option.
No, it was. And I think the defense as a whole is going to get a lot more slack than it deserves. Because, you said it. They had three touchdowns scored off of short fields, one of them being like 8 yards or whatever, 5 yards.
The return was like 8 yards.
You can't expect them to be perfect. I mean, I think when you're away, it's your first time as a defense together. I think they did a reasonably good job, aside from what I think is obviously the most glaring issue is running off the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely mauled us. I mean, it seemed like every time they were, I don't know why Kendall Briles, the offensive coordinator for TCU, didn't just say, we're going to run it off tackle until they stop us. I don't think we would have been able to. And I don't know if that would have changed the outcome of the game, but I don't know why he went away from that to the point where it wasn't like an every other play or every play, like every play kind of thing. He should have. He had no reason not to.
Yeah. Well, they tried it on that last drive, that last set of downs. They tried to go off tackle, and it was DV Harris, I think, who ended up coming around the side and making the stop. So he did try at the end, and it just didn't quite work for him. But no, I would say, I guess the last thing I really want to touch on, just to end on a more positive note for these guys, is I will say I don't think effort was ever an issue, which was nice to see, because we've watched Colorado in years past where a guy breaks through into the secondary and people are just like walking because they're like, ah, he's gone already. There's nothing I can do to catch him.
I'm not athletic enough to get there.
Right, exactly. But, you know, on Bailey's long run that led to the interception, you know, he was tracked down by, I believe it was Shiloh and Travis, were able to bring him down, and then that ended up being an interception. They didn't score on that drive, you know. Even the kickoff return, I know they scored on the end of it, but they still were able to. I thought he was gone as soon as he got past the kicker, and then I forget who it was who ended up tracking him down, but you know, they ended up getting to him too. Like, I don't think they had a big long touchdown like that, because they were always, the hustle plays were always there pretty much. So credit to them for that. I'm sure they'll get some love for that, for at least not dogging it. And then and then the last defensive stand, I don't know, hopefully they looked like they were kind of starting to figure out the rotations that they wanted. I know I was, like I said, I was trying to write it down, the line on like that last set of downs where they got the two run stops, it was, they had Chaz Wallace, Taj Austin, Amari McNeil, and Jordan Dominick in there for one of them. And then I think they switched up, had Derek McClendon back in there with Bishop Thomas on another one. And then once they got him in a passing situation, I think it was Dominick who actually ended up forcing the early throw on that final play. And those guys did. Jordan Dominick and Derek McClendon both, I think you could tell they had some stuff that they were maybe saving for like a big moment, and they pulled out a couple of really good moves to get to Chandler Morris there on that last possession. Like, I think Dominick's that last one, that spin move that he had and he got loose on him, was excellent. So, you know, you can tell they're at least like heady, you know, players. Like, they're smart. They know when to pick their moments. Hopefully, when we play a team that's not trying to be like super quick and everything, the ball is out quick, kind of like we are, honestly, they'll have a little bit more opportunity to like get to the quarterback and make some negative plays. So,
yeah, that, I mean, that was going to be my only other real complaint, is the lack of quarterback pressure, but they got it when it counted. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they ended the game. So again, I think TCU's O-line is probably one of the better O-lines we'll face all year. I could be way off on that. I haven't even looked at their PFF grades, but I think that's probably a solid O-line compared to what we'll see for the rest of the year.
I mean, they're definitely bigger. So, you know, at least that. I mean, I know on that last move, because Dominick beat the left tackle, and their left tackle is supposed to be like all Big 12 and very good. So, he, you know, that's like a NFL player right there, essentially.
Yeah.
That he was able to beat for that move. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good team, but all in all, genuinely could not be happier with how yesterday turned out. It was awesome. I like just the moment of realization of, oh my God, they're actually going to be able to be good this year, was euphoric. I don't really know how else to describe it. Yeah.
No, so, it was such a good feeling. And
I loved every second of it.
I can't remember if I texted you this, but it was so awesome when they scored and there was like 6:50 or whatever left on the clock. And normally, if we were ever in a situation like that, which wasn't often when we were within a score at the end of the game the last couple of years, but normally I would have been like, well, wave of doom incoming, like we're screwed.
100%.
I did not have that at all. I was like, I was nervous. I was like, I hope we can fucking score, pull this off. If not, it's, you know, there's enough time and we might get a second chance.
Right.
But I was relatively confident. I was like, shitters probably walk him down the field and score. And he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even the last drive with the touchdown that Dylan had, I mean, they were third and two, and Shador took a, not necessarily a shot, but he had to, he didn't get it. Like, they made a throw, they passed it instead of like trying to just do a run to get the first down or whatever.
Yeah.
To avoid fourth down. But to be honest, I was like, yeah, he's got it. No problem. It'll be right. Fine. And sure enough, it was like, yeah, Dylan runs out the side and then easily picks up the first down. And because he's an incredible player, he like tiptoed down the sideline while still being faster than everyone else and made it all the way to the end zone. So
you notice if you watch the replay, it's so slight, you can barely see it, but he like did a little hesitation and it just threw the defender off enough to make him whiff. Did you see who it was that whiffed that tackle?
No, I didn't. Who?
Mark Perry.
Oh God. Yeah.
Mark Perry.
Hey, I mean, look, it looked like a really good move for him last year. So, you know, yeah, but we were all ready for that. We were ready for that. I think that Dylan is an all American. You think he's going to get tackled and yet somehow ends up 3 yards in front of the guy who's trying to tackle him player. Like, even the screen pass, I kept thinking like, oh, that guy's going to get that. Like, he's got an angle on him, so he's going to catch him. And then all of a sudden he's 3 yards in front of him and the guy's like stretching out to try and make one more tackle and can't quite get to him. So I just, it's incredible. I know we've just been like gushing about this whole game and the team and stuff for all this time. But I really cannot stress enough that this team and the players on the team, it really shows you how much it matters. Like, you have to have that talent to be able to do this. I mean, there are plenty of years where we could have had Sean Lewis and that pass to the back wouldn't have been going to Dylan Edwards. It would have been going to, I don't know, Fontenot or
Duclair.
Yeah, something like that. And he's getting tackled by a linebacker. Like, I'm sorry, you know, maybe he gets a first down, but it's going to be damn close. It's not going to be like a,
busting the 42 yard.
No. Yeah.
No. So, another thing, too, is the amount of speed, both offensively and defensively, is absurd. I think we're going to be like the faster team, you know, 11 out of 12 games this year.
Yeah.
Maybe Oregon and USC might have us in terms of speed.
Definitely.
That's it.
Definitely. Yeah. I've got one more thing I want to say about the game, and then I'm ready to move on to Nebraska if you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably have one other thing too, and then we can go.
Okay. The last thing that I wanted to say is I think the game showed that not only can Coach Prime be a recruiter and, you know, be this media personality, but like, they are well coached. Like, that is a well coached team. And I know we gave up 42 points or whatever, but I mean, between Sean Lewis's offense being almost unstoppable, especially in the second half, and even today I saw, I think it was Emmanuel Acho, who, for the record, I hate, and I think he's super clickbaity and can't stand the guy, but he was breaking down, he did a good breakdown today of the two plays. It was Dylan's first touchdown and it was Travis's interception, because they were essentially the same two plays run by the offense, one by TCU and one by us. And he showed how, for us, the TCU guys, they ran their play and Travis and whoever was back there with him, I didn't catch, I think it was a linebacker and maybe Shiloh or something. They just switched right over. They saw it right away. It was like Travis said too. He was like, oh, I remembered. I saw this in practice. So I just knew where the ball was going right away. And you can see all three of them. So not just Travis. Travis made the play in the end, but all three of those players saw it, read it perfectly, knew their assignment, covered it up perfectly. Whereas on the other side, Dylan got wide open on that first one. Like, no one was anywhere near him. So I thought that was really cool to see, like, they can really coach. Like, it's not a mistake. They can actually, they really are coaching them very well. So I thought that was super cool. But that was the last thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, that you bring up a really good point. I think we actually looked like the better coach team for the majority of the game, which is saying a lot, considering this is the same staff minus Garrett Riley that had their team in the national championship last year. So, and it's, yeah. And that, so that play to Dylan, I think he actually scored twice on that same play. It was just at a different formation.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
For the second time, I think the second time was, out of the,
the same basic action. He came across Shador and then caught it and ran into the end zone on the first one. And then the second one, I think, was that last touchdown that he scored. Same thing, came right across and just caught it and outran a guy. That was it.
Yeah. No, but the other thing I was going to bring up, actually, you touched on it, the interception. It was man defense, and Travis just left his assignment because he knew he could make the play. And there was a graphic I saw. He made it from the time the ball left Morris's hand. He covered 5 yards of distance for that pick.
Yeah.
And made it look relatively easy.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he just fully read it right out the gate. And like I said, the other two guys next to him, I wish I could give them credit. I don't know 100% who it was, but
Kennedy was, yeah. And speaking of, that was an illegal pick. It was like, if that one had gotten picked off, the receiver that ran that slant did not even try and fake it. He went and popped Kennedy immediately, didn't even try and hide it.
Well, the two receivers that went in like that both got, you know, they were able to back up Travis and let him do his thing. So
yeah,
I appreciated that.
Yeah. Is it too early for Travis to be the leading candidate for the Heisman right now?
He showed like he is an incredible athlete, and if he can go throughout the whole year and play 110 to 130 snaps a game, like if he did that every game, I don't know how you can vote for anyone else unless it's Shador, because he's just going to throw for 6,000 yards this year, or Dylan because he's going to score like 60 touchdowns, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I personally, I don't have a problem with it. Like, you make the rankings for this season. It's not about last year. And there were some other guys who had really good games, especially in the Pac-12, man. I don't like it's
Oregon scored 81.
Yeah. So Portland State, there were other. Granted, but... Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah. None of the major teams played competition, I would think, that's as strong as what we did. But I think it's fine that he's up there, because no one else. He is the one player in college football right now that is doing something that literally no one else can, except for maybe Caleb Williams with all of his dancing around the pocket that he does and then somehow manages to find somebody. But I think he's just, he's doing something. It's like, this is not a baseball podcast. However,
I know you're going to talk about
Shohei Ohtani is pitching and hitting, and no one else on the planet can do that. And Travis right now is playing both sides of the ball almost every snap the whole game and being elite on both ends. Like, there was no drop off on either side. So if he continues to do that, how could you not, you know?
Yeah. I will say I was genuinely surprised that he was pretty much every snap full side. My thoughts were that he was going to be, they were going to pick which side of the ball he was going to focus on for the game, depending on the matchup. You know, if they didn't have like an elite receiving threat, or if they didn't have a great quarterback, stick him on offense most of the game. He'll come on defense for like big third downs or whatever. Flip the situation. If they do have an elite threat, they'll put him on cornerback. He'll come on offense when we need him. I did not expect him to just be cornerback one and wide receiver one for the majority of the game, which, again, if he can hold up and he can, I mean, obviously he has a conditioning for it. If he can hold up physically throughout the season, yeah, there's no way you can't. Because he's the kind of person that he will make plays no matter what.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if they look for places to get him his rest in other games. I mean, this game was tight the whole way through, so there wasn't really an opportunity, I would say. I do think he will probably continue to play first-team defense for most of the year. I think that they're going to err on that side just because they have other guys who can do it on offense. Mm-hmm. And I think they even said it on the broadcast, it's rare to have someone who can do what he does on defense. Like, there's just not a lot of those guys out there. So
his instincts are off the chart.
Right, exactly. I think he will stay on that side of the ball. If there's one side they're going to play him 100% of the game, it's probably that one. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if, say, like, we play, I think Colorado State is going to be one of the easier games on the schedule. If they get up big, I would not be surprised if they give Travis a lot more rest than he normally gets, just to try and alleviate the potential for down the line, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, let's jump into
after we talk for an extra 10 minutes about, yeah. about that. Yeah.
Let's jump into the preview for the Nebraska game.
Let's do it,
man. Off the bat, Chandler Morris is a miles better quarterback than Jeff Sims is. And he had trouble against our defensive backs. Jeff Sims might cry by the end of the third quarter.
Yes. So for anyone who didn't see, Nebraska lost their first game to Minnesota 13-10.
In classic Nebraska fashion,
they absolutely should have won. It's not even a question.
Do you see the win probability graph?
No, but I'm sure it's 99% or something.
It was awesome. It was like Minnesota for a little bit, and then it was Nebraska, yeah. It was like 99%, and then it just off a cliff.
Yeah. So,
and I was like, I've seen that graph before for this team.
Yes.
So many times.
Yes. Yeah. They're the kings of it right now. New coach, same team. So they did, yeah, basically they did just the ultimate meltdown at the end of that game. I mean, they needed to give up a fourth and I forget how far it was, but a fourth down conversion for a touchdown on the final drive for Minnesota.
16, maybe?
Yeah, or something. And they had to throw an interception with the ball, like, when they could have just kicked a field goal. Or they weren't close enough yet, but they were driving to try and kick a field goal, and Sims threw an interception to give Minnesota the ball at, like, midfield and just completely blew it. Like, they needed every yard that he gave them back with that play, basically, to make that happen. I guess I can just get into it a little bit more, but basically, yeah. So Sims, he was 11 for 19 for 114 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. In terms of the matchup for CU, if I was Matt Rhule, I would legitimately run him 25 times.
Yeah.
I think that's their method.
Run Sims.
Oh yeah. That's their method. He had 117 yards rushing if you take out the sack yardage. Mm-hmm. Which I think they probably will do, they'll probably run him a ton, because I think he showed enough in that game, like, he cannot be trusted to drop back and not stare down his receiver and throw an interception.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that decides pre-snap who he's going to. And you can't change his mind in the middle of the play.
Yes. So that is my one and only worry with Nebraska, is that they just go, forget it, we're just going to run him 25 to 30 times, and we're just going to run and run and run until they stop us. And like I said before, I think this is a well-coached team, and I'm sure they will be prepared to handle that if they need to. But I that would be my one worry is, I mean, they averaged over 6 yards a carry as a team. Again, that's like, I think that's without excluding the sack yardage. But so they like were able to run the ball against Minnesota, who typically, and I didn't look this year to see where they're at, but typically they're pretty good on the line of scrimmage. That's like one of their things. Mm-hmm. So it's an impressive showing. So I just worry that they're going to just pound the rock a bunch. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I pretty much have no concerns. And that's probably from yesterday. And like I said, like,
Kool-Aid's running.
I'm going to be intolerable if they win that game, and they won. And let me tell you, I am fully like, they are going to kick the shit out of Nebraska on Saturday. Yes. And I really hope they do. My feeling on prediction would be much different this week than last week.
Same.
But yeah, but I do, I just hope, and I don't think they will, but I hope they don't take this too lightly, because Nebraska should have beaten Minnesota 100%, and without them just you know, completely blown it, they win that game pretty easily, I would say. But
no, I mean you hit it kind of on the head. I don't think there's much I can add, because yeah, they show that they can run the ball. And again, Minnesota has typically been pretty stout on the on both sides of the line. Sims is an athlete playing quarterback. He's not a quarterback playing, or a quarterback that's an athlete. It's just, that's just who he is. And the reason I feel confident about it, even though we obviously showed we can be pretty susceptible to the run, is I don't think that there is any concern whatsoever for us stacking the box, mm-hmm. 8-9 guys in the box, and just letting the corners take it one-on-one outside.
100%.
Sims is not going to make a throw that's going to put his guy in a position to be the only one to make that catch. And Cooper or Travis will tear him apart if he decides to go against either of them.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be able to do it consistently. That's for sure. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we do, honestly. We just, like, the line is like Amari McNeil and, like, I don't know, like, just all the biggest dudes that we have. And then you just take like Bentley and Ham and another linebacker and you just throw them in there behind them, and you just say, like, they're going to run the ball a lot. Just don't let them push you backwards. And tell Travis and Amari and on the other side, all right, it's you guys. You know, maybe you'll have a safety back to help or whatever, but it's you guys. So,
like, I would not be surprised if we come out run the 44 defense.
Yeah, right. Just get ready. So, we'll see about that. I do think their Nebraska's like skill players don't really scare me at all.
Their defensive backs look right for the picking.
Yeah, their defense overall appeared pretty strong against Minnesota, but I think like their Minnesota pretty clearly also lacked some skill position talent. Like, they were replacing their quarterback that they've had for years and their running back, who was, I believe, on one of the All-America teams.
He was also he's like the best running back they've ever had in their history. Like,
right, exactly.
Record-wise, he has like all of them.
Yeah, and they had like the one receiver who could make plays for the most part. So, you know, they had a quarterback who didn't have a strong arm. I mean, it didn't look like the offense that they were stopping didn't really impress me that much either.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see what they look like against us. But I think that we will be able to put up a lot more than 13 points on them for sure. Yeah. So, the only other thing I wanted to say, this might be a hot take, I guess, but I feel like Matt Rhule is pretty much the coach version of a Jag.
Yeah.
You know,
he really is.
I get that he had a lot of hype because he was at Baylor and he basically pulled him out of the dirt to become a team that like competed for the Big 12 that one year or whatever. Just for the record, he's never beaten a ranked Power 5 team in his coaching career, ever. When he was at Temple, he beat a couple of ranked teams, but they were in the 20s, and it was like Eastern Carolina, I think, one of them. They did, when he was at Baylor, they did beat Texas in 2019, and they ended up being ranked 25, but when they played them, they weren't ranked at the time. So, like, I don't think that what he did, like, he basically just got Baylor to be better than the light schedule that they were playing for one year and like win enough games that eventually they're just going to get ranked high. And then after that, he went to the NFL and was horrible. And now he's at Nebraska. So like, I just think they basically just hired another guy, like just the coach version of just another guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's probably not the worst, but I don't think he's going to be anything special either. So,
and he's never been like an elite recruiter.
No, that's what I mean.
At that program in the Big Ten, you kind of need to be if you want to have a chance of competing, because the high school talent in Nebraska, not good enough.
Yeah, you got to be able to convince people to come to Lincoln, Nebraska. Like, good luck. Okay. Good luck. Yeah, come to Lincoln. Go play in the corn. Like,
they quite literally have a marketing slogan, Nebraska, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
That's a real thing. You can Google it. Yeah. It's not for everyone. It's one of their like campaigns.
Because it's boring as shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, all in all, I'm just not super worried about this game, and I'm probably overconfident now. I'm probably overreacting to week one, right? Well, I just think that our team is better than theirs, plain and simple. So
I don't see where they are better than us matchup. I will say, I don't know his name, their number nine douchebag that just absolutely nailed the mini quarterback in the head with his, like, it was targeting, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's out for the first half.
He's out for the first half. I am glad because he did seem relatively dominant for the majority of that game until he made that dumbass mistake. So I'm glad he's out. But other than that, I'm trying to think of where, if I just went position by position and looked at it, I would be like, they beat us there.
I mean, your only question would be the like their line is bigger than ours. But I don't think they're particularly mobile. Like, I don't think they're super agile. They were getting beat pretty bad, pretty often by some of the Minnesota guys just on like straight speed rushes around the back end of them. So,
Sims had to deal with, I'm trying to remember now. Did he dealt with a decent bit of pressure?
I mean, I think he got sacked. I think it was like three or four times or something. But yeah, you know, I mean, he's a mobile guy. So he probably avoided a few more. But it's one of those things where like, now that we've seen them in action, you know, the wide receivers for us are legit. You know, the corners are legit. You know, the quarterback is the man, and he's got a staple of running backs who can all do it, in particular, one really speedy small guy. And I just, yeah, I don't feel that they are better than us in any of those spots. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I know it's a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new everything for them also. So if there's a marked improvement from week one to week two for them, it'll be interesting to see. But I think we'd have the same sort of scenario. You would think that guys would perform better in their second week. I also think it's important to point out too, there's a chance we could get some more guys back that were out for this last game. I know Juju is potentially going to be able to come in as a new linebacker, which would be great if he's like actually what they're saying he is. Because Coach Hart was saying he's came from Tennessee and he's been picking up their defense super quick. So
yeah, he played and was solid, like more than solid, I would say, in an SEC defense.
Yeah, so getting him in would be great. I mean, you get Jordan Dominick with another week under his belt outside of being out of practice. You know, you're going to get, hopefully, we'll see if this actually happens or not, but McCaskill might come in there, so you get a little bit more of a running back situation going on. Yeah. And I know we were down an offensive lineman, which is like one of our thinnest positions, so I forget who it was, BB, maybe.
I think it was BB.
There's a chance they could get more guys back, and maybe, you know, that helps them shore some things up or just – push the score out to a little bit more comfortable level than what we saw this last week.
Yeah, that's actually something we didn't discuss, and I was kind of curious to get your thoughts. Is we ran the ball 34 times for 55 yards, take out Shadur's 32 yards of sacks, and we were at 87. My math, right? I used to be good at math. 87 yards, which is, I mean, it's definitely not great. It's not terrible. It's okay. It's just kind of, Do you think that was intentional? Because I think there's like four different ways you could look at this. Shadur is like so elite, and Sean Lewis knew it. He's like, we don't need to run when we've got this guy throwing the ball. You could look at it and say, we don't have Alton McCaskill right now. He is an all conference, probably back when he's fully healthy. So again, we it could be a combination of those two things too. Like, we've got Shadur and we don't have Alton right now. Why risk it when we can tear these guys apart with the pass? You can look at it another way. You could say, when we watched film of TCU, we didn't think we'd be able to run it on them very well. But I don't think that was the case, because I feel like, even though, again, 55 yards before sacks, 87 after, it felt like whenever we did need to run the ball, we got what we needed. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think there were ever times where it looked like we just like weren't getting pushed or something. Like, the O-line seemed to be getting pushed. Wilkerson just sheds tackles. Dude's like a little tree trunk. And I don't know. I mean, do you think that that's something that they're going to try and, you know, let's see, because looking at the carries, I guess it is a 50-50 split almost. No. I was looking at Shadur's completions. 47.
Sure. Yeah.
47 and 34. I think Sean Lewis, though, at Kent State was like 50 or 45 pass, 55 run. And here it's like he flipped that and then some. I'm curious if it's the matchup, if it was because, you know, McCaskill. I mean, what do you think?
I think that TCU felt that their strength would be our line is smaller than theirs, and that they would be able to kind of enforce their will in the ground game. And I think Sean Lewis thought, okay, they're going to try and establish that right away, that we are not going to be able to run the ball on them. So he just went out right away and was like, fine, we'll take all these little passes that are going to be open because you just don't have the guys in coverage yet, and we're going to just paper cut you to death, basically. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how that first drive went. They just little game, maybe break one across the line or across the first down mark or whatever. But I think that was, he's just taking what he sees. The same thing with Shadur. I think he's just taking what he sees, because I'm sure that there were some scenarios where he could have handed it off and he threw a quick pass instead. Like, I'd have to really look back through it, but that appears to be part of their offense, is he is reading guys in the defensive backfield and seeing like, oh, I'm going to have him open. So, I think that, to be completely honest, I think he's playing to our strengths a little bit more. He knows that Sean Lewis in particular knows he can work quick passes for a while. Yeah. And it just allows our offensive line, it just gives him an easier time of like, when Shadur does drop back, he doesn't necessarily have guys just all in his face right away, because they're not 100% sure if it's going to be a quick pass or if he's actually going to drop back and really look around and decide where to go with it. But I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if he just goes with what works all year. Like, I think that's kind of how he's going to be. I think he just saw that Shadur was fully comfortable just piecing him up all over the field. And I think he was like, all right, I'm good with that. You know, I mean, he would run it some, but I honestly felt like the run plays were mostly just to keep him honest. I don't think there was much intent behind a lot of them, especially in the second half. It seemed very like, okay, we're going to hand this off now just so that we can do it, so that we can show them like, we will run this ball this way. And then he just went after them in the passing game. So
yeah.
And to be honest, I this could absolutely be the split. But I also just think it was one of those games where the passing lanes were open and Shadur was playing awesome. So he was like, I'm just going to stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if when McCaskill does get in and he's fully healthy, they try to feed him a little bit more. And that probably means, you know, Dylan probably doesn't get as many touches maybe, but I do think they're just going to keep playing what works.
I think Dylan will get his touches. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if we're in situations where we need to run five receivers out there, throw Dylan at one of the slots.
Sure. Yeah. He went out wide a couple of times.
Yeah.
They never gave him the ball, I don't think, but he did go out wide a couple of times.
He proved in practice, he proved in scrimmages, and he proved when it mattered in game time that he's going to make plays. You can't take that off the field, no matter how good another running back is. They have to find ways to keep him on the field. And I have no doubt that they will. I think Sean Lewis, this could be a hot take, but I think Sean Lewis is a top three offensive mind in the country right now as far as play callers go. I'd put him up there with like Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, Hugh Freeze, Jeff Brom. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to really comb through like every team and all their offenses to fully be on board with that. Because like Kalen DeBauer at Washington,
yeah,
is very good. I mean, Garrett Riley has proven to be pretty good. Did Clemson, I would assume they played, but I didn't see any of their game.
I got ESPN pulled up here. Let me take
But yeah, so there's some good ones out there. But I will say, without ranking him necessarily, yeah, Sean Lewis is clearly a very strong offensive mind. I mean, he called damn near the perfect game from what I can remember. I mean, yeah, all the way down to like, there was a third and six or something that they converted on a run, and it was just the perfect, like, you know, every once in a while you see guys get cute with that where they're like, oh, they need 6 yards. They're not going to run it. They're just going to throw it. And then someone tries to run it and they just get stuffed, you know?
Yeah.
But like, to your point, what you were saying, it seemed like they got the yardage when they needed it. Like, he had some stuff that he was saving for moments, and you could tell when he would pull it out so that they could make it happen, you know? And yeah, I was very impressed. Could not have been happier about his overall performance. And it seems like him and Shador both are just totally on the same page with the whole thing, which is awesome to see. The one thing I forgot to say too about the running game, they didn't have Smoke either.
I was wondering where he was. I saw a picture or something of him. He's in pads. He was suited up. So
yeah, I thought I saw something, and I don't want to spread misinformation, but I thought I saw that he might have had some sort of family thing going on, so maybe he wasn't super present at practice for the last week or something. And I know he was also in a non-contact jersey, I think, for a little while, for a week or two there. So yeah, maybe they just didn't feel like he was fully back and ready to go yet, or they just thought like they didn't need to bring him out for this one. So
I think on his Instagram, he said something about his mom. So I hope okay there. So
right. Yeah. Hopefully that's the case. But yeah, so I think when we have our full stable of running backs, I bet they probably hammer the ball a little bit more. I think we're really talking about, you know, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I have the utmost respect for Anthony Hankerson for sticking it out the way he has. But yeah, I do think he will probably drop down the pecking order a bit. I don't think he'll get 9 carries. I don't know even that Savion will get 13 carries. He might be more of like a goal line guy, which, to be fair, like you were saying, he's just kind of a bowling ball basically running through there. So
he just gets going and he just,
that might be a good spot for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I think when they get both those guys back, I wouldn't be surprised if the style changes a little bit. But I do think with Sean Lewis and Shador, I think they're just gonna take what they have in front of them. Like, I know Shador threw for over 500 yards in this game, but to be honest, I'm sure if you asked him, he would be like, I'll throw for 100 yards if we still win, and that's the way to do it, you know? So I don't think that ever will be the case, but if the running game is working, I'm sure that's what they'll keep doing. So
Agreed.
I'm looking forward to game two.
Yeah. Yeah. And to pull it back to the Nebraska game a little bit, I'm going to put you on the spot. One offensive guy, one defensive guy that's going to stand out. And I know it's hard because we had 15 guys stand out just yesterday. And more than half of those were on offense. So
I think that, in an interest of not being boring, because I do think Travis could have another exceptional game, and I do think that Dylan could have another exceptional game. I genuinely think that Xavier Weaver is going to have the opportunity to really burn some guys in this one, especially like if he's got Travis on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't, the Nebraska corners, and I have not fact checked this, so like, bear with me on this. I have not totally fact checked it, but in watching the game, they did look pretty smaller. They did look a lot smaller than the guys that they were going up against, which is normal. Like, corners are usually a little bit smaller, but I do think that Weaver is going to be able to get quite a few opportunities, some of those downfield opportunities. So he, I guess, would be my guy if I'm just trying to pick someone that's not like the, yeah, alien freak athlete Travis, or the guy who scored 4 touchdowns last week. Like, oh yeah, he blew up again. No one could have seen that coming.
Shocker.
Yeah. So he's my guy on offense.
I'm not even going to go on offense because that's exactly what I was going to say. Because he doesn't look the part, but he can be pretty physical.
He's just good, man. Yeah. I don't know what to say about it, because it's true. You think of speed, you're thinking Jimmy, you're thinking Dylan. You think of size, you're thinking more like Javon Antonio, those guys. Like, Xavier Weaver's not a small guy, but he's not their, like,
6'1", huge. 180, I think.
Yeah, whatever. And you obviously, like, Travis has just got that elite athleticism. But Xavier Weaver's just good. Like, I don't know necessarily how he does it. I mean, I'm sure his route running is excellent because he does seem to get open. I don't know. It's kind of like, again, I'm not like an NFL college football analyst or anything like that. But because I watch the Chargers all the time, he reminds me of like a Keenan Allen type, where you're like, how does this guy just keep getting open over and over again? Because Keenan Allen is not the fastest, not the strongest. But he just, it's like constant. Like, he's just always open, it seems like, down the field. And a lot of that is because of his route running. So it'll be interesting. I am excited to see the next game. And I do think he has the opportunity to really pop off. I mean, he had 118 yards on 6 receptions. So it's not like he didn't have a good game today, but or yesterday. But
there's not a single person on offense that I think we could pick besides one of the running backs.
Right.
Not named Dylan Edwards.
Sure. Yeah.
Because everybody is like, everyone had a good game. So like, how do you.
Right. I think, I guess, so to rectify that, I think I will not be surprised when Shadur throws a bomb and he ends up with like a 45 yard touchdown or something. Like, I think he finds the end zone next week. So that's what I'm going to be looking for.
All right. And then let's move to defense. Who do you got?
Oh God. Defense. I think I'm going to say Derek McClendon. I think either him or Jordan Dominic, one of those guys, is getting to Sims next week. But I'm just picking McClendon just because, I don't know, he seemed like he was probably in on more of the snaps. We'll see if that's the same thing next week. I don't know. That depth chart came out, and I was like, Jordan Dominic is third string, but then he ended up being on the field a lot anyway. So
he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He was tied for, or had 6 most tackles on defense. So, I mean, he played plenty.
Yeah. So I'm really just looking for like one of those edge guys to get in there, but I think they're going to be fired up because I know Coach Sal is going to be on the D-line's asses about like getting to the quarterback this week because. Yeah. Until really the end there, they didn't get a ton of pressure, it seemed like. So, that's what I'm going to say for defense. Again, to stay away from, like, I think Travis will have a great game. And I brought up Amarian Cooper already, but, from the last game. But, yeah, what about you?
I was going to say Jordan Dominic because I think, I think you're right. Nebraska's probably going to be like, we have to run off these guys. Off tackles where they were vulnerable last week. We're going to run off tackle. And it's going to be a lot of just read option. And when Sims pulls that, somebody has to hold that edge. And I think Nick Harris, the defensive ends coach, is going to be on his dudes. Just like you said.
Yeah, Sal, I think the two of them, I think between the two of them, because they seem to spend a lot of time together and a lot of those drills. I think, they're going to be fired up about like that film session. I think is going to be pretty savage. I'm pretty sure. So.
Yeah,
same thing with the linebackers. I think Coach Hart like is gonna rip a few guys. I mean, I'm sure they'll give them the love that they deserve when they deserve it. But like, I know that there were some missed tackles on the defense that I think guys are probably gonna get blown up pretty good for. So
yeah, I envision for any of the Game of Thrones fans out there, Hodor, I envision that they're gonna be beaten, hold the edge into these guys so much all week that by the end of the week. His name is no longer Jordan Dominic. It's Hoda Edge.
Yeah, sure.
That's going to be his name after this week. There's, I mean, again, and I've seen multiple talking heads say it. that this is probably the best staff in the country. And I think that, I think it's up there. And so I don't think that we're going to lose games based off of being just completely out schemed.
No, I definitely don't. I mean, look, the defense gave up 42 points. They did, but really, and I'm not trying to make excuses. Like, it happened. That was a real thing. They struggled. But like I said, they gave up three touchdowns on short fields. They had a roughing the passer call that extended one drive. They had a missed pick by Travis. He did get the one, which was an incredible play, but he had one that was in his hands that he dropped to.
Yeah.
It could have easily, this game, as much as it was an incredible game, and like, credit to TCU for capitalizing on their opportunities and everything, but
yeah,
it was what, like a couple of grabs for touchdowns and like one more grab for a pick or something away from being like a two touchdown difference, you know?
Yeah.
So
it could have been a blowout.
And there's always bounces both ways. Like, I know we probably had some breaks and stuff as well, but it did feel like, to be completely honest, like in the first half, after the first half was over, I was thinking, man, I'm so happy right now that we're winning, but I feel like we could have been up by more, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what Coach Prime said to those guys too. Because his halftime, or his, some of his stuff is up. I don't know if his halftime speech is up, but online and stuff. So I think they probably addressed them the same way and said, look, we're in it. We believe, like, you believe we're in it, but we could be up by even more, you know?
Yeah. I think, I think that this, just something you said, just like the ball bounces both ways. But I think one of the things that was so fun to see is, as a fan of CU football for my entire life, but specifically the last 19 years.
Yeah.
It was so fun to see us make a mistake. Travis dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish my sentence before, but it's not fun to see us make a mistake.
I know where you're going.
He drops the ball. Dylan fumbles.
Right.
Shadur underthrows one that could have been, that Travis had got hit. He had a step on this guy.
Right. Yep.
We field goals blocked. We, you know, long kick return, all of these things, all these mistakes. But then we now have the talent that we have never had previously, to where a mistake doesn't mean we're fucked. A mistake doesn't mean we
have to play a perfect game.
Yeah. We can make mistakes, and we have the talent, we have the athletes, and we have the speed to make up for those mistakes the next series, the next play, whatever it may be. And that was so fun to see, to see those mistakes and be like, that sucks. Not too worried about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. You want to make a prediction here?
Yeah. Man, I've been going back and forth on what I want to say for this one, because I'm like, I don't want to overhype this, but I think that Nebraska's defense is not going to be as talented as TCU's. I know TCU, like I get it. I know TCU was like dead last in the country last year on defense.
They were supposed to look. I agree with what you're saying, but the stuff that I was reading said they could be like in the top half of the Big 12 at least.
Yeah, they had seven guys talent. Come back.
Yeah,
they all, I think, had a chip on their shoulder from last year being like just blown up at times. I think they're a better defense than Nebraska is,
mm-hmm.
especially a better defense than the first half Nebraska defense we'll see without that number nine dude, whoever that guy
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
So I'm going to go with 49-31 Buffs.
49-31. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, that could absolutely happen. I would be ecstatic if they just beat the brakes off of them like that.
Just kidding. 62-36 Colorado. could you imagine the collective aneurysm the entire state of Nebraska would suffer?
That would be amazing. 62-36. Yeah, so I, for mine, I think you're probably right. I don't necessarily think that the Nebraska defense is a world beater or anything like that. I think if they're going to be smart, they're going to do is they are going to run the ball, like I was saying earlier, with Sims and with their running backs, and they're going to try and just methodically move down the field. So I wouldn't be surprised if we just don't have the time of possession to put up 49 points.
Yeah.
Again, they absolutely could. This is not even me doubting our team. It's just literally doubting like the new clock rules, essentially.
Right when you started saying, I was like, I didn't even think about that. But it makes sense.
They absolutely, like, they could have scored damn near 60 points in this last game. So like they could definitely score 49 points. I was going to say 38-24 CU. I think they are definitely better than Nebraska. I don't think they're going to overlook them because I, like we were talking about earlier, like I think we have a good coaching staff, and the guys were already saying, like Dylan was getting interviewed immediately after the game by, I think it was Reach the People. And Darius, and he said like immediately when they were like, how do you feel after, you know, four touchdowns? And he just said like, got to do it against Nebraska next week. Like got to do it against Nebraska next week. So like they already were thinking about, okay, next game, you know, I think they'll be fired up to be in front of the home crowd for the first time. That place is going to be absolutely buzzing. So
it's going to be nuts. I don't think I'll have ever seen an atmosphere like we're going to see.
No, it's going to be popping off. I saw that they sold out of like all of their 10,000 or 11,000 student ticket allotment or whatever within like half an hour.
Extra section.
Yes. So, and that's the other thing. They're going to have more students in there than they ever have. So it's going to be rowdy, which is great because I know, especially the last time that Nebraska came to Boulder, it was pretty red in there. So
I'll be livid if we see that again.
That at least you're going to have an 11,000 portion section of that stadium that is loud and rowdy and probably intoxicated at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And I'm going to be intoxicated.
It is going to be a wild scene. So I think that'll help the defense. I think that Nebraska is going to continue because they did. We didn't touch on this, but they did seem to make mistakes at big moments in the game. Like that one of Jeff Sims' interceptions only happened because they false started at the 1 yard line and had to go backwards. So instead of just doing a QB sneak, which he was for sure going to get because the dude's like 230 pounds or whatever, they had to throw and he threw and he threw an interception. So I do think that stuff is going to continue. Like, I think Folsom is going to be rocking for the first game with them there. And so that's why I'm going, whatever I said, 38-24. Because I just think that we're going to be cooking. So I think we're going to be doing, I think it's going to be great. I think Nebraska is going to try to slow it down, which is the only reason why I don't have a point total in the 40s. But I think this team is going to have a really good start to their home field, home portion of their season.
Yeah, agreed. I got two things to say regarding the red people coming to that stadium.
Sure.
First, they like to make a big thing about it, and like they always show pictures and like, oh, look how much red it is. One, red sticks out more than black or white. Okay, let's just
okay.
Two, Did you notice that they never showed the east side of that stadium? Why? Students are over there.
Right, exactly. It was
95% black or white shirts for CU.
Right.
They definitely traveled well for that last game. But all these people saying, oh, it was more Nebraska people than CU. No, it wasn't. It was not.
Right. There were a lot of Nebraska people.
There were.
Like, I remember talking about it at the time, but yeah.
I would say it's probably 35-40%.
Yeah.
I think it will not be that bad this time. I think that you can never fully fix like that and make it perfect, but the AD, I think, did a decent-ish job of making it an effort to keep the red out, as they were saying. I hope everyone that sold their ticket prior to this game feels like an absolute dickhead because they won't get to see this team in their first home game after winning that game against TCU.
And if you did have to sell it, I hope you gave it to someone you know is a Buff fan, because yeah, that's just shitty if you didn't.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be the place to be for Saturday. All the eyes are gonna be on that game because everyone is just so enthralled with what Coach Prime and this team has going on. So you made a mistake if you're not gonna be there, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a prediction that this game will break some viewership numbers for non-CFP game.
Yeah, it absolutely could. After that first game, people are gonna want to watch 100%.
Yep. So, we both had the Buffs winning. I wouldn't be doing this podcast with you if I thought you were gonna predict anything else. We could be the worst team in the fucking country. I will never predict that Nebraska wins this game.
I can't bring myself to do it. I can't.
Yeah. As always, everyone, thank you for listening. I hate to say it, but do us a favor, follow the podcast, review it if you want to. Even if it's constructive feedback, we'll take it. Share it with friends and family. Reminder that there's the email if you want to send in mailbag questions. It's shouldertoshoulderpod@gmail.com. That's in the show notes. Our Twitter is in the show notes. Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on reviews, however you want to let us know, you know, what you think. Thank you again for listening. Looking forward to talking about this next week. And as always, Sko Buffs.
Sko Buffs.